If someone could shout out a page number in the blue Bibles. If you don't have a blue Bible, do raise a hand. If you'd like a piece of paper to make some notes on, especially for maybe the youngsters and you haven't got one, again, raise a hand, someone will bring you one. What page are we on? Luke chapter 24? Last few verses. 1062. 1062, thank you. Jonathan has already prayed for us that we would hear God's word. So let me read from verse 50, just the last few verses of Luke chapter 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Liverpool are Premier League champions. Yeah, indeed. In the first season of their new manager, Arne Slot. And last weekend, as he stood there on the pitch celebrating, one of the very first things he did was to thank the previous manager, club legend Jurgen Klopp. Because 1 year ago, as Jurgen Klopp stood on the pitch after his last game of a very successful reign, he passed the baton on to the new manager by singing his name. The tune's just left my head, so I'm not going to sing it to you. What a shame. But that's what he said. Arne Slot. Arne Slot. Na 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 na. Thank you. What was he doing as he sang his name? He was giving the new manager his blessing, his full backing. And how someone leaves really does then set the tone for what's to come. The verses that we just read are about the ascension of our Lord Jesus, as Jesus left earth to go up to heaven. And how Jesus leaves sets the tone for everything that's to come. You see, the ascension of Jesus is not just a tag on. It's only the last small paragraph at the end of Luke's gospel, but it's not unimportant. You know how some stories, the last few pages of the story is just kind of tying things up, and actually most of the big stuff has already really happened. That's not what it is here. This is actually where everything has been heading from way back. In fact, all the way back in chapter 9, verse 51, is described like this. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This is before his death and his resurrection, but he is described as the time approaching for him to be taken up into heaven. This was always the ultimate goal. Jesus has his eyes fixed beyond the cross, beyond the empty grave, to the day where he would head back up into heaven. This is a significant part of his mission, which we could easily overlook. It's one of the central claims of Christianity. Not just that Jesus died on the cross in the place of sinners like us, praise God. Not just that he was raised from the dead on the third day in victory. Not just that he appeared to his followers and it was absolutely beyond doubt that he really was physically alive, but also that Jesus has ascended. It means he is still alive. He is still reigning today. This is a central claim of Christianity. Not that Jesus was king, but that Jesus is king. We'd do well, like Luke, to carefully investigate the ascension. Luke actually wrote a second volume. We've got Luke's gospel, and then he also went on to describe what continued to happen in the book of Acts. And at the start of the book of Acts, you get more detail about what actually happened around Jesus' ascension. But even here in these few verses, we get a striking snapshot of this amazing moment. Look at verse 50. Luke 24, verse 50. Take a look down in your Bibles. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Jesus is the one taking the initiative. He wants to show them something. So he leads them out to this place near Bethany, which was just outside of the city of Jerusalem. Specifically, Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and there he lifts his hands into the air. There's all sorts of reasons we might lift our hands up. Jesus was not lifting his hands in surrender. It wasn't like, maybe if have you ever been on a roller coaster and you stick your hands in, you're not brave enough to do that. Stick your hands in the air for a roller coaster ride. That's not obviously what's going on here. It's not like he's raising his hands in self-defense or in celebration or to get their attention. Why does Jesus raise his hands? He's raising his hands in blessing. He lifted up his hands, verse 50, and he blessed them. He is bestowing good onto his disciples. Actually, Luke's gospel begins and ends with blessing. This word for blessing is only found in the first two chapters and this last chapter. When pregnant Mary comes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth blesses her. When baby Jesus is taken to the temple, there's an old man there called Simeon who takes him in his arms. He has a cuddle and he blesses the family. When John the Baptist is born, his dad, Zechariah, who's a priest, after 9 months of not being able to speak, 9 months of not being able to bestow the priestly blessing, which he should have done as he came out of the temple, finally his mouth is opened, his speech returns, and what does he do? He blesses God. And now here in the last chapter, we have more blessing. Jesus blesses them, and then they bless God. Look at verse 53. It says they stayed continually at the temple praising God. It's actually the same word there, blessing God. So there's echoes here of chapters 1 and 2. We've got the blessing of new life, blessing happening at the temple, and this blessing of a priest. You see, Jesus is standing here in this pose in a priestly kind of role, blessing them. A priestly blessing made possible through the priestly work that he had just done. What was the role of the priest? Do you remember from the Old Testament? The role of the priest is to go into the temple and to offer a perfect sacrifice to a holy God. That sacrifice died in the place of sinful people. Because of our sin, we deserve death and we deserve hell. But that sacrifice died in their place so that they might have their guilt removed and their relationship with God restored. That's what a priest does. And this is what the great high priest had just done through his death on the cross, offering not a bull or a lamb, but his perfect self as a once for all sacrifice for sins that really does truly take sin away, and it rips that barrier that separates us from a holy God so that everyone who trusts in Jesus. And my question to you this morning is, are you trusting in Jesus? Have you turned from your sin and turned to him, asking him for the forgiveness of your sins? Because if you trust in Jesus, then you can have your guilt removed, your shame covered, that relationship with God restored. And then Jesus, after dying on the cross, was raised from the dead. And now here he stands with his hands lifted up, a powerful pose, proving that his people are no longer under God's curse. They are under his blessing. And it's in this powerful pose, with his hands lifted up, that Jesus is lifted up. Verse 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. How someone leaves sets the tone for what's to come. This is how Luke finishes his gospel. This is the picture he wants to leave us with. And the picture that we're left with is this striking snapshot of Jesus in the position of blessing. What courage and comfort this gives to God's people. Jesus stands over you in the position of blessing. If you're one of his people, That is something you can be certain about, that Jesus stands over you in the position of blessing. It may not always feel like that. It does not mean that we will get everything that we want or everything that we ask for. It will not mean that life is always going to be easy. But if we are people of Jesus, we can be sure that he is always giving us what is ultimately for our good. Not because of anything we've done, not because we've earned it, not because we're trying to live his way, but because of his undeserved kindness, Jesus stands over us in the position of blessing. Doesn't that change the way that we think about our lives? The way that we handle difficulties and trials as they come? If we know underneath, deep down, that behind that, Jesus is standing over us in a position of blessing, that just changes the whole way we see them. With his hands lifted up, Jesus is lifted up. And there's three ways to respond to that, which we're shown here in these verses. The first is worship. Look at verse 52. He was taken up into heaven, then they worshipped him. As Jesus is lifted up, they bow down. They recognize that Jesus is not just a priest, he's a king. You know how kings often have their throne up a set of steps? It's this idea of the kind of height symbolizing the power and the position that they're in. Well, here is a king being enthroned in the very highest place. In fact, a place which is above anything on earth. Lifted up, Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not just a priest, he's a king. He's not just king, he is God. And the disciples by now have seen enough to know that King Jesus is actually the Son of God who is worthy of worship. And this sets the tone for what follows. Look at verse 53. We read there that they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The temple is the starting line for the mission that was about to begin. This is where blessing would flow from. And so that's where they gather to praise God, just as we have done today. This is an appropriate response to the ascension of Jesus, to gather together with other believers to praise God. Don't stop coming to church. Don't just watch online if you can avoid it. Don't give up on grow groups. There's nothing like gathering to worship. Jesus is lifted up with his hands up. Praise the Lord. Worship him for that. Do you know, we need this big view of Jesus. So often we can worship the gifts rather than the giver. Or we're more interested in the blessings rather than the blesser. Take a moment now to think and to respond to this. What things in your life are too important to you? Ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you in a moment of quiet here. What is it in your life that grabs your time, your attention, your affection? What are you worshiping? So often we worship the gifts rather than the giver. But will you recognize this morning that every good gift comes from above? Can you see Jesus lifted up with his hands up? Will you worship him? Worship will also be seen in obedience. Have a look at verse 52. It says they worshipped him. Tell me, what's the next thing they did? They returned to Jerusalem. Remember, they were outside of Jerusalem in this place near Bethany, a couple of mile or two outside. But now they travel back into Jerusalem. Why? Because Jesus told them to. Do you remember that in verse 49, which we saw last week? Well, look at verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. It's like a traffic light. Orange and then green. Wait and then go. I have got a mission for you. And again, this mission becomes clearer in the book of Acts. As Luke records what Jesus said at his ascension, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go and tell people about me to the ends of the earth, but first wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. That's what Jesus says. And I mean, this is King Jesus, right? The Lord of Lords. So what he says, we have to do. And so the disciples obey. They head back to Jerusalem. Obedience. That is the right response to the ascension of Jesus. If he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that means he is the risen and reigning one. And what he says goes. Everything written in his word, the Bible, has a binding authority over you, over me. We don't get to pick and choose which commands we obey. We don't get to decide what is realistic or culturally appropriate. We don't get to opt out of making him known to others. When Jesus says go, we don't get to say no. Again, a moment of quiet to reflect. Are there commands of Jesus that you are disobeying or just ignoring, minimizing? Again, ask God the Holy Spirit to put his finger on those areas, those commands that you maybe are disobeying or ignoring or minimizing. What King Jesus says goes. And so if there are commands that you are disobeying, repent. Ask for his forgiveness. And ask for his strength to obey him. Jesus clearly doesn't expect us to do this in our own strength. He doesn't say, right, see ya, off you go, you're on your own, green light, go for it. He says orange and then green, wait and then go. You're going to go, but first you're going to need the Holy Spirit to make me known, to obey my commands. How foolish we are to try and obey Jesus in our own strength. How foolish we are to pray so little and so unexpectedly. Christian, if you are someone who's trusting in Jesus, you have the power of the risen Lord Jesus living in you. So obey him. Obedience is an appropriate response to the ascension of Jesus. And so is joy. Verse 52. They worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, which maybe comes as something of a surprise. When Jurgen Klopp left Liverpool, there was sad. There was probably too much sadness. People were a bit intense about it. But it's normal when someone who you get on really well with, someone with whom you've had an amazing time, or someone who's become precious to you, when they leave you for good, that's a sad thing. A short time earlier, the disciples were deeply upset by the idea of not having Jesus there with them, but now they're full of joy. It's something of a surprise. Perhaps they're beginning to understand that they realize that Jesus is lifted up with his hands up, that he is reigning and that he is blessing, that Jesus is the King, that the Holy Spirit is coming, that God will still be with us. In fact, now Jesus is with us, not just when he's physically present, but from now God will be with us personally and individually and continually wherever we are on this great mission to the ends of the earth. Jesus is King. Jesus will win. Jesus is lifted up with his hands up, and one day he will return in the same way that he left, and he will bring about his glorious kingdom, and we will reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And surely that's a reason for great joy. Now, Jonathan shared, I'm about to head off on sabbatical, and church family, I have to say I'm really going to miss you over the next 3 months. It's a long time, and it feels really weird not to come to church with your church family. I'll miss that greatly. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, for the generosity of you all to bless me with a chance and rest and to feed on the Lord, to be refreshed in Him. But I will really miss you. I'm not looking forward to Sundays really, apart away from Silver Street. You're genuinely very precious to me. I will be praying for you, looking forward to coming back and seeing what the Lord has done. But as I step back for a short time, really I want to direct your attention to the one who is always there. Here's the picture I want to leave you with for the next 3 months. This striking snapshot of our Lord Jesus. Lift your eyes and see Jesus in this powerful pose. He is lifted up with his hands up. Bow down in worship. Obey his every word. Rejoice in your risen and ascended King. We're going to do that as we sing a couple of songs together to close off our time. We started the service with that call to praise our God, our ascended, risen, highly lifted up Lord and Saviour, and we're going to finish by doing exactly that. A couple of songs, Never Alone and O Glorious Day. Let me pray and then we'll stand and sing. Lord Jesus Christ, you are indeed our risen, reigning, ruling King. We thank you that you are lifted up with your hands up. Thank you that all of us who are in Christ can know that you only do what is ultimately for our good, that you bless us, that you give us what is for our good and for your glory. Help us to trust you. Help us to worship you, to obey you whatever you say, to go where you say to go. And please would you fill us with great joy, knowing that you indeed are the risen and reigning King. Fill our hearts with joy as we sing your praises now. We pray for your glory. Amen. If you're able, do stand and we'll sing.